All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Friday, August 16th of 2024. Here, looking ahead, we have an 8-game MLB main slate later this evening. Should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at Saber Sim. This is a show where we go over how to use the Saber Sim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the Sabersim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. With that said, we do the show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. We do the show on Saturdays tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern. So tune in and get your questions answered. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up here. Do have some questions that came in the Discord to keep us busy at the start of the show. If anybody has a question, now is always a good time to get that in the queue. All right. First question, is there a drop-off point on MME lineups? Example, if I have 420 max entries and do one build for all 80 lineups, I see a huge drop when those last entries get entered. Is it smarter to max 120 max $1 instead of 10 dime 20 maxes because you're really just entering 60 subpar lineups on the dimes? Okay, good question here. This is interesting, I would say. I think there is a drop-off point because there's usually only so many positive ROI lineups for a contest, right? So, like, for instance, let's, just come in here, build some lineups, and then let's come in here and then say that, you're playing the $4.20 max, the $1.20 max, the quarter jukebox, and let's just say one dime time, right? So in that case, you're going to notice that you are using the low stakes 20 max set of field lineups for every single contest. The only difference is going to be the contest size and then the payout structure, right? But as far as, the 5,000 lineups you build are always going to be going up against the same set of field lineups, just under different payout structure conditions. So that's not to say that, they're not going to be miles apart, basically, is kind of what I'm saying. Like, I don't think the results are going to be miles apart here. But although, there is a drop-off point, that point is kind of far. So, like, if we build 5,000 lineups, right, I'm running a contest sim for the $4.20 max here. In my opinion, the drop-off point is at whatever point you run out of positive ROI lineups, which is going to be very, very far, and you're probably never going to reach that point, right? So say you're building your lineups together. If I come in here and set a filter that says, show me ROI greater than zero, right now I have about 698 positive sim ROI lineups from the set that I just built, right? Completely default settings. Seems pretty high, but seems like a lot of lineups went into the trash. Not 100% sure why, but we have 698 lineups, right? In my opinion, the drop-off is the number of lineups in your pool that are positive sim ROI. So even if you're playing 10 dime times, say you're playing 260 lineups. You do have 260 lineups here that are positive. And then you could even, use a min unique of two, maybe three here, right? Min unique of two gets us to lineup 292. Min unique of three gets us to lineup 370 here. This is like, either this is the max or we're very close to approaching it here. If maybe we get to four, maybe. Okay, we did get to four, right? And now we're at lineup 540. But here you're playing all positive Samar Y lineups. You're still using mini uniques. You're our highest exposed pitchers are also our highest owned pitchers here. So in my opinion, the drop-off point is where you stop playing positive Sim ROI lineups, which in that case, you know, you could duplicate lineups. You know, that's been discussed, right? So it's like, hey, you know, I'm playing, you know, 260 lineups. I need 260 lineups. You know, maybe there's only 200 available that are positive. Well, then you could just play 200 and then duplicate the other 60 lineups into contests, right? And you could do that via unique random. You could do that via unique rank where you make sure that, you know, your top lineups get duplicated. Like 1 through 20 goes in the first time around. And then after 200, it cycles back to 1 through 60. And then those 60 lineups get used again. So, like, yeah, I would say there's a drop-off point, but most people are not playing that many lineups on an individual slate. You know, you could do something like that during like football season. You know, you can get 1,000 lineups down. You know, if your bankroll is big enough, if you're 150 maxing every 150 max on the NFL main slate or something like that, that could happen. But it's a little bit rare. And I think that drop off point is farther than you might think it is. All right. Good question there to get us started. Next question here. What are some ways to add value to MLB late swap without contest sims? I know sorting by ROI on the ultimate plan will sometimes give lower owned players slash stacks to try to salvage ROI. But lately, when I swap with live ownership, I'm getting to a ton of chalkier options, no matter how my lineups are doing during the slate. Example, Yankees this week and basically any chalk team at Coors. It's just a function of live ownership predicting chalker teams coming in lower than expected prior to lock. Thanks. Okay. So the way late swap works is we are still randomly sampling the sims and pulling sims in and running your sims. And then basically what we're doing is we're taking the sim outputs. We're looking at a lineup and we're saying, okay, this lineup has these positions left. This lineup has this much salary from the sim generated outputs. How can we best complete this lineup in the most optimal way, right? Based on the correlation and taking that into account as well. So that's what late swap's doing here. As far as what you can do. So if you're on the pro plan, what I would probably recommend is if Saber score is not getting the job done for you, you know, you come in here, you look at the Saber score formula. I would probably recommend trying to create a custom metric. So the way that I recommend people use custom metrics is take the Saber sim formula for Saber score, write it down, recreate it. You know, you see it all written out right here. And then start adjusting some of the values. So it's like, hey, maybe I have a custom metric for when my lineups aren't doing well that, you know, doubles the weight of average adjusted ownership and cuts the weight of average projection in half when I'm not doing bad to try to get on less owned teams. But when my lineups are doing decent or my lineups are doing fine up to this point, maybe I just roll with this regular Saber score formula. That's one thing I would recommend is creating your own sorting metric and basing the risk of the sorting metric on how you're doing up to that point in the slate. So give that a try. I think that'll probably be a pretty good option for you. And then just see how the lineups come out as you change those weights. You know, you might have to trial and error a little bit, but, you know, wait till the lineups pass the eye test for you and then kind of settle on those values and weights. All right. Gonna jump to this question that came in here because it's also kind of talking about late swap. Said regarding to late swap, do you still use the aggregate projection average score or do you use the live projected average score? So I'm pretty sure Kuba is on the ultimate plan. If I remember, I've seen a blue name. I'm like almost positive here in Discord. So when it comes to late swap, what is going to happen is when you see, so in late swap, right? There are a certain amount of games that have locked and there are a certain amount of games that haven't. So it doesn't really matter in the lineup building process, okay, how players have done up to that point in the game. Okay, that's not going to come into play. So like if Jose Ramirez has hit two home runs and you are swapping before the last game of the night, the reason it's not going to matter is because Jose Ramirez cannot be put into more or less lineups at this point. What the builder is doing is saying, hey, you know, games up to this point in the slate have locked. We'll say it's like 5:30 my time. It's running the sims for San Diego, Colorado, and Atlanta Angels, and then taking the sim outputs there, looking in your lineup, seeing what positions are left, and then filling in the best available players based on those sims at those positions and salary. Okay, the rest of the slate doesn't matter to that point as far as finishing your lineups goes. Where it starts to matter is in the live contest sim. So if we go and look at your contest sim, you're going to see use live sims if available, use live field lineups if available. So this is where the actual scores of the players matter, where this live sims is available, right? This will care that Jose Ramirez has hit two home runs to this point. It's going to know the player's ownership in the contest. It's going to know how many lineups have him. It's going to know the strength of those lineups that do have him because it's going to understand how many actual fantasy points he has to this point. So as long as this toggle is on, use live sims if available, the live data is being taken into account up to that point. So as far as, you know, sorting lineups in late swap, I would still be using ROI. Now, the reason to use ROI is because risk-adjusted ROI is taking into account a little bit more like how risky a lineup is at the start of a slate. But once, you know, half your lineup's locked, we're getting deeper into a slate, right? Well, when 60% of your lineup is locked, you don't need to worry about that as much. And because it's already been taken into account. And at this point, you're basically just trying to optimize to win as much money as possible. And some lineups are going to be trying to get cash equity. Some lineups are going to try and be getting to the top of your contest, right? So in late swap, I wouldn't be using projection. I wouldn't be using live projection. I would be using ROI for my late swaps. So that's what I recommend there. Okay, jumping back to this other question. Question says, hi, Andrew. What will be the main reason to use match exposure to ownership tab as well as do I have to save it every time each slate? So you are going to have to save it every time each slate. Every time you open up a slate or even a new build, you're going to get a fresh table and those min-max exposures are going to be zero. The only time I would recommend using match exposure to ownership is if you are uploading custom projections and you are creating a custom set of field lineups for a contest sim. That is the only time I recommend using it. What it does is it creates minimax exposures for each player on the slate. And then that gets taken into account in the build that you run. And then what I would do is like rename the build and say, you know, my custom field. And then you go into your contest sim settings and then you change the field lineup drop down to the build that has your custom set in it. And you would do that in this window here. So that is why we created that functionality. You know, are people using it for their regular builds? Yes, I've cautioned against it in some build reviews, I think even as early as earlier this week. So that is the main reason to use it, however. All right. Kuba said, thank you for the clarification. Happy to answer that question. No problem at all. Next question here in the YouTube chat. Chuck said, since the update to the SIM ROI calculation, I've been consistently in the top portfolio ROIs, sorting by ROI. Does it make a difference sorting by risk-adjusted ROI compared to ROI? So as far as sorting in the post-contest SIM, the SIM ROI is the thing that you really should care about. So if you are sorting portfolios by ROI in the post-contest SIM, and you are grading out well, I would say you're doing a lot of the right things, you're on the right track, and I really would not deviate from that. Again, you know, ROI is like, is literally amount one divided by entry fees. And, you know, that is actually telling of like how well you did. The risk-adjusted ROI is a better pre-slate measurement because we don't have all the information. We don't have all the actual lineups. We don't have, sometimes we don't have enough field lineups for the contest in question. And so when you don't have all of the data, it is better to be a little bit more risk averse. And so I think that's why risk-adjusted ROI works so well as a pre-slate sorting metric. And then as more and more data becomes available, as the live field lineups, as the actual scores become available, then switching to ROI makes a little bit more sense. So I think that's a good way to think about those two things. All right, another question in the YouTube chat. Does the ultimate package include WNBA stat line projections like points, rebounds, assists? I don't believe so. And the reason is we do not have simulations for WNBA. So our WNBA projections, we're working with an outside source like to provide the projections here. So like you'll see Saberson projections are zero, but WNBA expert projections are filled in, and this is for yesterday. So we don't have all the detailed like summary statistics because all of that comes from our sims. So again, so WNBA, we have projections. You do have to use optimizer mode to build your lineups. We're very happy with projections and the team that we're working with that's providing them. There was an interview on our YouTube channel with the main gentleman behind the projections here. His name is Matt, and you can find those over on our YouTube channel. Let me just check here to see if there is a specific playlist for WNBA. So let's see. There might not be. If you just come in here and search an interview format. Yeah, so this video is an interview that Jordan did with Matt, and you can listen to their conversation talking about the new projections being provided. All right, good stuff there. Getting Saberson back on the screen. And let me check here. Follow up from Chuck. Thanks, that helps. And to clarify, I meant sort by ROI pre-lock, and it made my portfolio grade out better post-contest. Oh, okay. I mean, SIM ROI and risk-adjusted ROI are going to be very, very correlated. Slightly different. You know, you might see like some lineups like flipping back and forth as you go down. You know, you could probably like look at your top 20 lineups, take a screenshot, and then switch metrics. We can even try this. And they're not going to be like egregiously different or anything like that, but they will be slightly different, right? So if you're okay with the risk and how the lineups are looking for your ROI, and by sorting by ROI, then like more power to you. You know, there's nothing wrong with doing that at all. So let's just see. So right now we're sorting by, let's come in here and sort by contest sim, risk adjusted ROI. We're using 1 minute unique, top 20 lineups. And I'm just going to take a quick screenshot of these exposures. And then I'm going to switch metrics to ROI. And then I'm going to come in and compare. So Arrighetti, 90% ROI, 95% risk-adjusted ROI. Manaea, 75% both. Drew Romo, 50% risk-adjusted ROI. Or let me do that. Romo and Merrill, 5% more exposure, risk-adjusted ROI. Will Brennan the same. Margot the same. Arias, 5% more risk-adjusted. Profar, 5% more risk-adjusted. Haesung Kim, 5% more risk-adjusted. Cronenworth, same. Peralta, 15% more risk-adjusted. Carlos Santana, 5% less. David Fry, the same. You know, we're seeing like 5 to 10% changes for like some of these guys. And I think that's probably what you would expect, right? I mean, the fact that they're correlated and then just taking into account their payout distribution causes small changes, small differences in the lineups that are showing up here at the top. So that just kind of shows you, you know, they're not that different. They are slightly different, but not maybe to like the extreme that where, you know, we talk about the differences there. All right. Good stuff there. Looks like we're all caught up with questions in the Discord and the YouTube chat. We do have our build review show going live in about 35 minutes here. Highly recommend anybody who wants to get their builds reviewed before the weekend, drop their DK username in the office hours channel before the show gets going here. This will be the last day to get them reviewed before the weekend. And then I will be back on Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So if anybody wants their builds reviewed before the weekend here, today is the day to do it. So until that show, everybody, take care. Good luck. I'll see you all soon. Thanks. Bye.